10 o'clock hour of Woman's Couch begins now. And I would just like to state for the record that if I don't get $447 in renovation funding, I'm going to stop doing the show until I've fixed up my radio studio in my basement, Jesse. Sorry. I saw this story yesterday. Todd Rosiak of the Journal Sentinel did a great job reporting on it. Rob Manfred at AmFam Field, formerly known as Miller Park when it was first built, saying that basically the stadium needs more than $400 million worth of renovations over the next two decades to fix everything that's already wrong with it. Am I being obtuse, Justin? That this just feels like Governor Evers put $290 million into the budget and then it got, it was not well received. And now this is some sort of power play from Major League Baseball. Is that what this is?
I'm sure that's a part of it. I mean, this ultimately boils down to, and I believe this is, it's not what drove the Rams to Los Angeles, but it helped. Allow them to make that move. This boils down to that. I think it's the state-of-the-art clause.
Yep.
That was in the stadium district contract that the Brewers have, which is, 20 or 25%? You have to be one of keeping up with the Joneses, is how the Journal Sentinel referred to it. But basically, hey, with this clause in there, you have to be in line with the top handful of stadiums out there in Major League Baseball, and by their estimation, yeah, American Family Field, it's still functional and it's still a nice facility, but this is not one of the eight best stadiums in baseball, and $400+ million is what's going to take to get it there.
There are a variety of items, Jesse, that the Brewers and MLB believe need to be done to the stadium. I've got a list of a number of them. I would also say this, as the son of an usher, what is George's reaction to this? Have you asked him? Because that's like his second home there.
I did not ask Usher George what his thoughts were on this, but I'll say this, anytime you're talking about a team moving, especially in this area, like, I think of the Bucks when I was growing up. I thought for a long time that the Bucks were going to leave Milwaukee. And I think there were suitors that were interested in their services around the United States in larger markets than Milwaukee. And the danger with this is that if you flirt with it, if you play hardball with it, and you don't support it with the funding, and you want to take it to the next level and kind of push it down the road and play the game, you could lose the team, and that probably means you will never get a team back. Like Montreal and St. Louis with the Rams, and Oakland is experiencing it on a couple of fronts right now. I would not mess around with this if I was the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin and everybody that cares so passionately about the Brewers. I wouldn't mess with this. I wouldn't try to kick this down the road. I wouldn't try to play hardball. Get it resolved. Keep the team here. It's a loyal fan base. It's always good with attendance, even when the team isn't very good. Let's keep it here, and let's not mess around.
And as a homeowner and a taxpayer, you're fine with paying your share to keep the up with the Joneses phrase, like Justin mentioned.
I mean, I am. I'm an avid sports fan, though. I understand why, if you're not a Brewers fan, if you're not a sports fan, and you're focused on, you know, where your tax dollars are going, I understand that you may not care about this. And therefore, you'd say, well, I don't want my taxes to go up for something I don't care about. I understand that. I think the economic impact that the Brewers have on the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin is what needs to be considered.
We are a major league state with an NFL team, an NBA team, an MLB team. And it feels like Justin Tausch and I were talking like 2 weeks ago or a week ago about, well, could Milwaukee have a NHL team? That'd be great. And now we're at least in theory having a conversation about, well, if these things aren't done, they can move the franchise. That always feels like a very heavy hammer to hold over a fan base and municipalities. And I was a little surprised that that club came out of the bag as early as it did. And you're right, it's written into this contract, this idea that they have to keep up with it being a state-of-the-art facility, which, by the way, do people realize when that is put into the original contract that this is the outcome of that? That was the first thought I had, was like, did you guys think about this when you signed this, whatever it was, 25 years ago, when we were first working toward this building opening? Because if you did and you knew what it meant, this should not come as a surprise to you today.
No. And I mean, do people think about that? Probably not, because Miller Park, when it was Miller Park, so American Family Field, when it opened, was like $400 million, something like that, to build that stadium. That I'm sure at the time, we have no real thought that things like inflation and state of the art and these arenas and stadiums are going to be more expensive to build than ever before. That it's, hey, this cost us X amount, so state of the art, top 25%, whatever. That means we chip in another $50 or $60 million if we have to, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So I'm assuming that was the thought, because the Brewers weren't the only team that had that in their clause. That was really the rage of the 90s when mm-hmm. we saw the boom of new Major League Baseball stadiums and NFL stadiums. I mean, the Bengals is the most laughable one, where they're required to put in a holographic replay system if that ever comes to be a thing. And I mentioned that's what allowed the Cronkies to break their lease and move the Rams from St. Louis to Los Angeles. So to me, having a Major League Baseball team, an NFL team, an NBA team, it's almost like owning a boat, where there's a very big buy-in initially, and there's a lot of upkeep through the years. The only difference is, you know, boat owners will tell you, hey, happiest day of your life is the day you buy the boat and the day you sell the boat. I don't know that you would say the same for losing a franchise, but it's constant, where you always have to be dumping money into it. But conversely, you're the fun friend, and you're the guy that everybody wants to be around. Of, hey, he has a boat, let's go out on the lake with him. You're a major league city, and you have things to do. You have other establishments and chains that are going to want to come into your town. You'll get tourism, but it's a very, very steep price to pay.
It's interesting to me, and I understand these dollars are different. It's 2023, and these dollars are 2003 dollars. But to renovate Lambeau Field, which, as you well know from your time on the Packers radio network, once upon a time was a corrugated metal exterior building. And if you've been to our fair city, where they're going to be hosting the NFL draft in 2025, it doesn't look anything like that anymore, and hasn't for a long time. And now they're adding on again, and they're in the process of an additional indoor facility for the players to train in, and new offices. $295 million back in 2003 to completely renovate Lambeau Field and bring it to the gem that it is today, as opposed to the quaint, corrugated green metal building it once was. And now, even for the Packers in 2021, it cost them $435 million to start the project that they're on now. I mean, it's a big number. And I want us to stay a major league state. I would like an NHL team, although I'm sure Tausch, if he was here, would say, how many games are you going to go to of an NHL series? But be that as it may, this is something that we're not chicken-littling it, but the fact that the commissioner, who has other teams, by the way, who have much more dire stadium situations, right, including Oakland moving to Las Vegas tentatively, the fact that he felt the need to come here, I believe, was to put pressure on the legislature to get this done. And we will see if that indeed occurs. All right. We've gotten to my favorite part of the program, because Justin Garcia and I, there is an age gap, not as large as it is between Jesse and I. But I am very, very curious to hear how people answer the questions that I am going to throw out coming up next based on something that happened on yesterday's show from the Tellurian golf outing. So we'll do that coming up. Want to remind you that if you are a Brewers fan and you are going to AmFam Field, it's even better if you go there as an Associated Bank customer. You get 10% off at the Brewers Team Store if you have your Brewers MasterCard. You also get to go in through the Associated Bank gate, skip all the long lines, breeze right through. Jesse's done it. It's great. And, of course, you do have the power of Associated Bank's great customer service in your wallet as well. So check out associatedbank.com/brewers to find out more. My questions about old school Packers are next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Yeah. Ooh, la, la, but the pool is singing my line, no. Tune at night to the view, yeah, keeping those blinds closed. She said, I wanna find somebody by night. Ooh, nah, so I'm both excited and nervous about this. This idea came to me yesterday when we had Lynn Dickey and Don Mikowski on, and then we had Gilbert Brown and Santana Dotson on the show. They were all at the Tellurian golf outing. If you missed those conversations, they were terrific. All four of them were great. You can find them on Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Group Law Offices. One call, that's all. Thanks to David and his team, again, for their support of the show and for supporting Wisconsin On Demand, Group Law Offices. One call, that's all. But I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do your favorite old school Packer, your favorite old school Buck, and your favorite old school Brewer? And after I sent that text along to you guys, it dawned on me. This is my 28th season that I'm about to embark on covering the Packers. So I started when I was 23, 24. There are going to be people who that old school refers to guys that I have covered. And then my enthusiasm waned slightly for this idea.
Yeah.
Like, Jesse, when I ask you for your favorite old school Packer, who is it going to be? Because mine was Lynn Dickey. And we talked to him yesterday. He is 73 years old. Your favorite old school Packer would be who?
Reggie White.
R.I.P. Reggie White. But I covered him, shook his hand, had the most enormous hands. I felt like a child when I shook his hand. But, again, on the list of guys that I covered, and oh, by the way, on the list of guys that Tausch blocked when he went to Carolina for that 1 year. To which I would add, does that make Mark Tauscher an old school Packer?
Is it touch? It's Wildy and Touch, isn't it?
And I'm fearful. I mean, I'm kind of glad that he's not here, right? Because I think for some people, he would definitely qualify, even though his career ended. The last season he played in the NFL was 2010. But even that is 13 years ago now. So here's my list.
He's been out longer than he was in.
I wasn't going to point that out in case he's listening on Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Group Law Offices. Here's my list, and then I want yours, and then we'll open it up for fans. For the Packers, I already said, it's Lynn Dickey. I loved that 83 team. I was 11 years old. Jefferson, Lofton, Kaufman, and Dickey throwing for more yards than anybody in the league, finishing fifth in the MVP balloting, which he apparently didn't know until I informed him yesterday. My favorite old-school Buck is Sidney Moncrief, edging out Marcus Johnson for that honor. And my favorite old-school Brewer is Robin Yount. Those are really easy calls for me. Like, there's no debate for me. Now, Justin, you pointed out earlier, you're late 30s, early 40s. I know you like to keep your age under wraps.
More the latter, yeah.
So who is your favorite old school Buck, Brewer, and Packer?
So this one's difficult because it's like any parent when you're asked, who's your favorite child? I know my mom would never say it, but I'm her favorite child.
No doubt.
But still, you can't admit that.
Jesse's parents would say that too, but he doesn't have any competition.
Default.
I guess on a technicality, my favorite old school Packer is Brett Favre, but I view this a little differently. So with movies, when you have like, oh, it didn't do well in theaters, but it's become a cult classic.
Oh, boy.
That's how I look at it with these athletes, where it's more the guys I remembered, and it's like, why did I really like that guy? Like for recent Packers, Jared Bush would be the guy that I loved Jared Bush for whatever reason, and everybody else is like, you like Jared Bush?
What?
But yeah, exactly. So
and
that
I
was,
know JB, and he's a great guy, but
gotta
that
hook
is
us
a
up,
niche
then.
Pick.
Oh, yeah, all-time favorite. I was the president of the Jared Bush fan club for reasons I could not tell you. But for me, you know, and the other thing is, I didn't get into the NFL until I was a teenager. I was more of a basketball and baseball kid, so I could point to late 80s and early 90s Bucks teams and Brewers teams, and especially in the sweet spot of the early 90s of remember this guy. And I think it's more fun to do with those two teams because outside of 93 for the Brewers and the late 90s for the Bucks, they weren't very successful. So you had to look for, hey, let's pin our hopes
right
on these guys. But like by your definition, Brett Favre is my favorite old school Packer, and Glenn Robinson is my favorite old school Buck. Greg Vaughn is probably my favorite old school Brewers player. But to me, it's names, you know, like Marty Conlin and Blue Edwards that I would think back to.
Oh,
man,
gosh.
I loved watching those guys play. And then the more you understand basketball, you're like, oh yeah, that's why the Bucks were where they were for about two decades.
Marty Conlin. Yeah, I covered most of Glenn Robinson's career with the Bucks. Including those Eastern Conference Finals, those salad days when they made it to Game 7 in Philly. All right, Jesse, let's get your list so we can open it up.
So, yeah, I mean, Packers, it's well documented. The player, Brett Favre, for the Green Bay Packers was my favorite athlete growing up. And I think I'm not alone in that across most sports fans across the state. The Brewer is actually a fascinating one for me, and it does come from my dad being an usher at Miller Park.
Ooh!
Scott Podsednik was the center fielder for two or three years in Milwaukee.
Well, I did not have this one on my bingo card.
Yeah, and where my dad worked in center field, we would sit out there, and we got, like, before they even sold him in the pro shop, we had my dad's friend put together the like Scott Podsednik jersey for us. So we got like a plain jersey from the pro shop, and then he stitched in the name and the number on the back of it, and then we wore those. And so we were on like the cover of one of the game day magazines. They took a picture of us because they weren't even selling this thing yet when he was getting hot as a rookie and stealing all the bases. He would try and throw us a baseball when they were warming up between innings pretty much every game we were at. And bless his heart, he had a terrible arm. And so trying
what?
To throw it to
what? Yeah, he did. What? He did. He
so
did.
He would try to throw a ball up to us in center field. And he would throw it. He'd throw it off the back panel, or he'd throw it into the bullpen, or he'd come up short and like fall back onto the field. He'd have to toss it into the bullpen. Like he tried so much. There was one game he threw four balls our direction, missed on all four. He just kind of gave us a shrug. And it was like, I just can't get it there. And moved on. So I love Scott Podsednik. I thought he just played a fun game. And then when he went to the White Sox and hit a guy who never hit home runs.
World Series hero. Yeah.
Hits a walk-off home run in a World Series game. He was one of my favorites growing up. So there was a whole window there where the Brewers were bad. Where Podsednik, Richie Sexson, Jeremy Burnitz, some of those early 2000s guys.
We're talking early 2000s. Yeah, Junior Spivey.
Yeah, uh-huh. Ben Sheets, of course.
Ben Sheets, yeah.
There's a whole list of early 2000s Brewers that, and then you get into Fielder and Braun and all those guys that, as I was in middle school, high school, that became the guys.
I was an intern, a WTMJ sports intern, for two summers, and one of those two was the rookie year of Scott Podsednik, and it was the other than the fact that it was unpaid, it was the best job ever because my entire job was I covered the Brewers for the entire summer, And if we had a weeknight sports show, a Sports Central, I would get to sit in on that with Eric Bilstead and watch him produce it. So I was there for the Scott Pesednik rise to stardom with the – this is a terrible team, but – holy cow, this came out of nowhere.
This guy
broke spring training, and all of a sudden he's pushing for Rookie of the Year. But, you know, even with that that terrible arm that Scott Pesednik has, you still should have been able to get the balls, Jesse, because I was at just about every game. There were no fans
years. There weren't many. And then, Jason, I don't want to make you feel bad, but my favorite old school Buck is no doubt Ray Allen.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, too. He just doesn't qualify for old school. And it was great to see him a few weeks ago and introduce him to Sid. All right, so those are our lists. And I do feel old when Ray Allen is the pick for Jesse. I'll still never forget being at the NFL Scouting Combine and getting a call that the Bucks were trading Ray Allen and thinking that I was being punked, which was popular back then, by the way. Because everyone knew how much I liked Ray. No, it really happened. Turned out to be a bit of a mistake.
All right, those are our lists. I'm going to tweet this out, give you the opportunity to share yours. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. This will be great because you'll know instantly kind of the age range that everyone who responds is in. And I'm okay with that. Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, Brett Favre, Reggie White, I have to face the reality that I am not a young person anymore, and players that I covered qualify as old school. Limited time covering Blue Edwards, for the record, but I did cover Vin Baker upon his arrival in Milwaukee. So, yeah, not ideal. 844-770-3776. We'll get to some of your lists next. It's Will Dean Tausch. It's Valley. Justin, do you want to amend your list in any way? Because we're going on the record here. I'm about to tweet out mine.
You can send out yours on your own. I don't have to do all the work around here.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Jared Bush still going to be your pick.
No, I mean, I guess I'd have to copy Jesse with Brett Favre, and then the other two, I think, what did I say, Glenn Robinson and Greg Vaughn?
Vonnie, yeah.
Those are my favorites, but it's more of a collection of players that I fondly remember. But those would be the favorites, quote-unquote.
All right, well, let's see if there's any crossover with some of our calls and texts. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. By the way, the tweet is out now. You can respond to that, of course, on the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed as well. Let's start with Ed in Madtown. Ed, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, guys. I've got three guys that I think are definitely falling under the radar. I'm going to go baseball first. I'm going Prince Fielder. Prince Fielder won a home run contest in the All-Star game. I'd love to just pick his brain, what it's like to go through what he's gone through, recovery from his neck issues. I work with people with disabilities and traumatic brain injuries, so he would be my primary number one interview for that.
Okay.
Donald Driver for the Packers. Donald Driver, what he's made less, he's made more with less when he came into the NFL, and he's click it or ticket, and he's a face of Wisconsin, even on TV, yet to this day.
Yeah, he's really bulked up in those cartoons, though. Like, he's... I don't remember him being quite that...
he's very strong. Yoked. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very cut and ripped. When I got to meet him face-to-face at when they used to, you know, I used to go up and watch them ride their bikes out, he was one of my first guys I got to meet in person, and his handshake could put you to your knees.
Oh, and he can hold a truck for moving in the cartoon for the Wisconsin DOT.
Paul Pressey.
Ooh, good one.
Paul Pressey. He was the Giannis back then that the Giannis is today. To me, Paul Pressey had a lot of the moves like Giannis could do, and I was looking at his points per game, and he actually – he did quite well with the Bucks. He was averaging some really high-scoring games. And so I'm very That's it for me, guys.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. I would like to point out that Prince Fielder's final Major League season was 2016. So I am feeling old after that one, but I'm going to give myself a pass on that.
How does Prince Fielder and Donald Driver make you feel there, Jason?
Donald Driver, his rookie year, 1999, which was my first year as our primary Packers writer at the State Journal. He played through 2012. Paul Pressey, though, that's more in my wheelhouse. And he was a point forward for Don Nelson, so a good little history lesson from Ed there. His final NBA season, by the way, 92-93. So I feel a lot better about Ed's list on that one.
He's to Ed's point, I mean, it's basically what you look for in players now, that he was
right.
A point forward and one of the better defenders in the league. Like, there's a lot of Drew Holiday's game to what Paul Pressey did back for the Bucks in the 80s.
844-770-3776. We're getting some really good texts, too, including from Jeff in Monroe, who has pulled over. Why didn't he just have his wife do the texting for him? Instead, he pulled over while driving. Bart Starr, Oscar Robertson, and George the Boomer Scott. The third one, an interesting choice, because he was traded for Cecil Cooper, who came over from the Boston Red Sox and obviously had a crucial hit in the 82 World Series before at least one of you on the panel was born, and maybe both of you. All right, let's keep going with the calls. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Now, this guy, he's not as old as me, but he's older. It's Ron in the Key. Ron, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty close. I graduated the year from high school the year that Brust was born.
And yet you forged such a beautiful friendship with him.
He said it. I call it BS on that. I'd say acquaintances who play similar dumb things together. Anyways, maybe brilliant, Jason, it is old school, whoever we were fans of. I hate to break that to you. We old.
No.
So with that, for me, I got like two in each. So I was Big Dog. I was Sam Cassell when the aforementioned Marty Conlin was somehow liked by more Wisconsin fans than Sam for some reason.
A modern day Paul Mokeski, I always viewed him as.
Yeah. And then similarly, although Justin has trumped me with his fandom of DBs that the rest of the state doesn't like, I believe you know who I'm about to say. I've got him on this very brand's airwaves. Mm-hmm. Terrell Buckley is my guy. Sterling Sharp on the other side. That was even before our friend was stealing from welfare people. I still like those two better.
I love you guys.
And then in baseball, Molitor, and for some reason the name just always did something for me, Sixto Lescano.
Number 16.
When I was a kid.
Yeah,
Now, really
one.
Quick, last thing. You were looking for stuff to do this weekend. You know, I happen to know that, like, Justin's friend and mentor has his food truck out there today and tomorrow, I think.
I have already heard from him. Sources close to the program indicate it's not driving close to my home, though. I got a lot to get done. I don't want to be investing that much driving.
Take a little road trip.
I've driven a lot of miles multiple times to help that young man, you know, get his business off the ground. I would say this, Jason. Last thing, and I'll let you go. Ask yourself this.
Thank you.
Would Ashton drive that far for you?
No.
I think we know the answer.
No, I think we both know the answer to that. No, I don't think so. Unless apparently I was putting one of my pets down, but that's a whole other discussion for another day.
Yeah, get over to Rot's Hots and then go catch the Brewers game on Saturday night. How about that? A little daily dip.
Maybe. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We've got a bunch of calls starting to stack up, so keep them coming. Let's get to one more before the break. Let's talk to Nick in Milwaukee, although he's actually in Pennsylvania. Nick, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Who you got on your list?
So going back, I go back to Sterling Sharp, even though he blew me off for an autograph one time after a game.
Way to not hold a grudge.
Yeah, my dad was a sports editor up in Manitowoc for 20-some years, and he'd go in the media area, and then we'd wait, you know, back, and Sterling was kind of trying to sneak off out the side, and I saw him, and I ran over, and he took off instead towards the parking lot, and that was that.
Nick, who's your dad?
Tom Aiello.
Wow. Small world.
Yeah, you probably had a little crossover with him, yeah.
He's a little bit, yep.
Up there about 99, yep. So.
Yep, that's awesome. All right, who else is on your list?
Yeah. And then the Bucks. The obvious one is Ray Allen. That was a sad day when he was traded. And you mentioning Blue Edwards would have been my other choice there. So.
See, wow.
I got to see him a little bit, yeah, oddly enough. But as a kid, it was kind of cool seeing him miss a dunk that bounced all the way back to half court. That was kind of a... My memory of
it seemed
that,
to happen so. A lot with those teams, too, yeah. And yeah. Really cemented his fame as one of the options you could choose for the Bucks on NBA Jam.
Right, absolutely. And then Brewers-wise, Gary Sheffield.
Oh, now that's an interesting choice, given how his departure from Milwaukee played out, but obviously a great player.
Right.
I like that one. I'll be honest. I did not have Blue Edwards on my projections to be mentioned not once but twice. But I did wonder, Justin, and thanks for the call, Nick. We appreciate you. I did wonder if Sheffield would get referenced because I remember, I think it was in high school when he came up, and I'm not sure there's ever been a prospect in my lifetime that there was more buzz about, and then obviously the way that story plays out for Milwaukeeans, not ideal.
Not ideal. I guess it's not even a fair comp, but yeah, I'm surprised that his name would come up because it wasn't just like a season or two. It was a handful of seasons that he spent with the Brewers, but it was really, what, the last season or two where you started to see, yeah, he's going to live up or showing signs of living up to that potential, and it was more the divorce and the words he had for the organization in the city of Milwaukee on the exit. I had that just below, in terms of level of surprise, somebody saying Gary Payton as their old-school favorite Bucks player.
Well, the good news is you're still the only one who has said Jarrett Bush, who I'll see at gymnastics practice at some point next week.
Send my regards, yeah.
I will let him know that he made our list, and he will be he is one of the all-time great guys. Like, you know, I always felt bad how much Packers, and the guy had an interception in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
by the way.
Absolutely.
A crucial interception in the Super Bowl.
I had on the Packers or on the NFL shop, you could order hoodies and get a player on the back. I had a Jarrett Bush hoodie. It went that far, and my friends almost bought me a Jarrett Bush jersey, because just as your reaction, they were like, "What? How do you not hate this guy? That you are the only person I've met that wants more Jarrett Bush." That was me. So yeah, send him my regards.
Well, I look forward to the next time your cousin's subbing, because we'll have him on. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We have gotten a response via Twitter that I am going to reveal, and now I feel some modicum of guilt because it was a close call between these two, and one of them has responded to our question when it came to my old school Buck. We'll tell you who that is and continue with your list next. It's Wilde and Tausch. You know I know how to make him stop and stare as I fall now. Taking your favorite old school Buck, your favorite old school Brewer, and in honor of Lynn Dickey, Don Mikowski, Gilbert Brown, and Santana Dotson joining us yesterday on the show, your favorite old school Packer. Chiming in response to Thornton Mellon,
who I didn't realize was on Twitter, who responded to our list. He tagged Marcus Johnson as his favorite old school Buck.
Uh-oh.
Which I would like to point out, again, I said him and Sidney Moncrief. It was neck and neck. Well, elder Marcus Johnson has chimed in. James Lofton and I were childhood buds in South Central. We hung out daily at either Sportsman's Park, now Jesse Owens Park, or St. Andrew's Playground, closer to our houses. The best athlete was Carl Mosier, the third member of our crew. So he has chimed in. I did not realize that he had a connection to James Lofton. Did you know that?
He has a connection to everybody. Like, honestly, I'm not even making that up. Like, if you listen to Marcus tell stories, you'll start someplace and you'll finish somewhere you never expected. And he always has a connection to someone you wouldn't have imagined.
844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Let's get to a few more of your lists. We've got a ton of them on social media and via the text portion of the talk and text line. But let's get to a few calls. Let's go to John in Kenosha first. John, good morning. Who's on your list, buddy?
Good morning. So I have Robin Yount. I was able to be at his 3,000th hit game.
Yeah, me too.
So that was pretty exciting. Yep, that was cool. I was fortunate enough to do that. And then Sidney Moncrief, I was able to meet him in high school two or three times. He was just such a great guy. And then for my last one, Marcus Johnson kind of stole my thunder. I said James Lofton. Mm-hmm. When I was a young child, he had built a house around the corner from my grandparents' home.
Oh, wow.
And on game day, my dad and I would go out there and throw the football around, and he would come out, and he would come out and throw the football around with us for a few times. So those wow. are my three. That's what I got for you.
That's a great story. Thanks for the call, John. We appreciate you. I have to admit, while Sidney Moncrief maybe got the nod, I went back during the commercial break, and the Tour de Force performance by Marcus Johnson in White Men Can't Jump cannot be underrated during this conversation.
Blue chips, too.
Oh, nice. Yes, that's true. You're right. He's got a connection to everyone. Let's get to a couple more of your calls. Let's talk to Paul in Kiel. Paul, good morning, buddy. Who's on your list?
Well, Jason, I got to call you out. Cecil Cooper did not have that hit in the World Series.
No, it was in the ALCS.
American League Championship game, yep.
Yeah, you're right, yep.
Get down. I remember like it's yesterday. So my favorite brewer happens to be a two-pack-a-day smoker during a baseball game was Ted Simmons. And for the
that's a pretty good reference, by the way.
And as a Packer, we're going to go All-Star Wrestling the Crusher, our very own Yurkovich.
Oh, good for Yurko, who is our teammate at ESPN Chicago nowadays, and I heard being referenced by Favre in an interview recently. He is a beloved figure. There's no question about that. Probably a little bit higher on the food chain than Jared Bush, but still a niche selection, to be sure. 844-770-3776. Let's get to one more call, and then we'll start with texts and tweets to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Let's go to Kurt in Heartland. Kurt, good morning. Who's on your list?
Hey, long-time listener. Love you guys.
Thanks.
List for the Bucks. We got to go with Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And let's see, for the Brewers, if not for the mustache alone, we got to go Raleigh Fingers.
There's
and
a
the
good
Minister
one.
Of Defense, Minister of Defense for the Packers, we got to go with Reggie.
Kurt, how old are you?
I am 58.
So, Reggie, you would have suffered through some of the disappointments as a Packers fan before Reggie arrived. So that's that's a tip of the hat to the success that you got to enjoy later on after growing up in an era when they weren't very good. That's awesome. We appreciate the call, Kurt. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, we will get to some of the Twitter responses, not just Marcus Johnson's, and we will get to some of your texts coming up. Want to remind you, and I know that it's Memorial Day weekend, and everyone has big plans, except for me, of course. But part of your plans should include the Memorial Day sale at Steinhoffel's. And right now, it's going on. It's a five-day extravaganza, and you can shop today through Memorial Day and take $100 off your purchase of $1,999 or more. Plus, when you spend over $4,999, you'll get a Ninja 7-in-1 Master Grill, perfect for cooking outside this summer. And speaking of outside, you'll save up to 25% off all patio furniture. And you can go into my favorite part of the store, the clearance center, and you'll earn an extra 15% off their already reduced clearance center prices. Plus, with Steinhoffel's special 72-month financing, you can buy now and pay over 6 years. Steinhoffel's has something for everyone, so shop their biggest Memorial Day sale ever, in-store and online, at steinhoffels.com. The 11 o'clock hour begins in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.